him a child of God. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am blessed. I walk in God's favor. I walk in God's blessing. Because I hear His voice. I keep His commandments. And I live by His word. Amen. Well, you can be seated. Amen, amen. Well, tonight I've got a good subject that the Lord dropped in my heart, dropped in my spirit. And it's called Awakening. And Sister Melinda, if you're up there, you can go ahead and put Romans chapter 13, verse 11. And I just want to pray before we get started. So, Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you for this opportunity to minister your word, to stand, Heavenly Father, and bless the church. Heavenly Father, speak the word of God to open up the eyes of our understanding, that we may have hearts to receive, ears to hear, and perceive what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. We thank you, Father God, and praise you that you helped me be a minister tonight, Heavenly Father, a flame of fire, being able to articulate your word clearly and distinctly, Heavenly Father, so that it will give the hearers faith, cause faith to arise, and will bring forth understanding in the name of Jesus. How many of you have already turned to Romans chapter 13? I'm not yet. No, I didn't mark my book. I've got a lot to unpack, so I'm just... And the Lord spoke in several things to me, so I just want to get them down right where they're supposed to be at the right time. Amen. So give me just a little bit of leeway. It's not that I don't know what I'm saying. I do know what I'm saying. I do know where it's going. But I want to do it in the timing that God says, and I want it to bring an understanding. Amen. The word awake, or the title, or the subject of the word awake, the Bible says there's 99 different references that has to do with the word awake, or to wake up, have your eyes open. So, you know, we live in a time, how many of you believe that we live in an evil time? The occult, satanic worship is involved in everything from our government to our entertainment to our sports. How many of you know that they brought a witch into the White House and had a seance? How many of you know that even in the past Olympics, they made a mockery of the Last Supper? They in the end of it, they had a hymn to the Antichrist. The man was hanging upside down, playing the piano, and they were actually having a worship service. The problem that we have is that we as Christians, I've got a couple of statements that I'm going to make, but we as Christians, sometimes we fall victim to a lot of this because, for one thing, we don't think it's relevant. We don't think it's kosher or anything like that. We don't want to rock the boat. We don't want to make our family mad. We don't want to make this one mad, or we don't want to make that one mad. But God says, I've called you all to please me. When you look at some of our entertainers, some of the singers, they have incorporated worship, satanic worship, in their concerts. We go to them. When you look at your amusement parks, they are woke. They have all kinds of magic and all that stuff. I mean, it leads into satanic worship. It's a door to that, but we don't think anything about it, you know. When it comes to voting and politicians, we vote for people who they don't stand with and agree with what this word says. We can't do that. We're living in a time where I believe that God's saying that everything's being weighed in the balance. So the awakening that I'm talking about, that's what God's calling us to do. He's calling the church to awaken unto His righteousness. And we'll probably get into that a little bit here. But you have to become more aware of who you are. And you have to become more aware of the people that you're voting for, the people, the concerts that you go to, the, you know, even the amusement parks anymore. I tell you, and here's another thing, and I know I'm probably making a few people mad and upset, but I think in the end of it, they're going to see that, you know, we let the Word of God slip. We even buy books that has witchcraft and occult, thinking it's good reading material to teach to our kids. No amens on that one, but it's the truth anyway. Harry Potter. I mean, it's a popular movie, popular book series. You know, the Bible says we need to be careful what we put before our eyes, what we let our ears hear. It's our eye gates and our ear gates. We've been called to a higher standard. We've been called to be different than the world. You know, the world, it's okay. You know, you talk about Halloween, you know. A lot of churches have trunk or treat. A lot of years ago, Debbie and I was in a church, and we had a haunted house down in the bottom of the basement of the church. But we didn't know. And a casket. Yeah, we had a casket with somebody laying in it. It was evil. We didn't know it. But now we know. Our eyes have been opened. How many of you remember that joke about the puppies? I don't remember it, but the punchline is the little boy said, well, these have got their eyes open because I guess they're more Pentecostal or something, word of faith. But that's what God's called us to do. He's called us to open up our eyes and to awake, to awaken. The definition of awaken is it has to do with coming to your right senses and your right mind. It's the process. It's the whole vehicle of coming to waking up out of a slumber, suddenly being aroused, you know, just getting your senses about you and your wits about you. Even naturally, when you get up in the morning, you kind of got to shake the cobwebs out of your head so that you can get started in the morning. Some people have to have a cup of coffee. I'll go drink me a L8, you know, or something like that. But, you know, we shake the cobwebs out. Well, it's time for the church to spiritually shake the cobwebs up in your life and see if you're lining up with the Word of God. When Pastor asked me to minister Sunday morning, there was two things that, and I'm going to read these statements, and I know that, it's going to be touchy. I'll just tell you that right now. We've always said that and have heard people say God is in control, have we not? And for some reason, we want to believe that. But if God's in control, God says, I've made a mess out of things. Some of you are going to go, blasphemy. No. God has given the earth into the children of men, into the church. Even if you go back to Genesis, and I know we're still at Romans 13, I ain't made it there yet, but Genesis chapter 1, 26 through 28, the original blueprint, the original desire, the original design that God set up for man was to put him over all of the works of his hands, giving him authority and dominion. Amen. And to take, I mean, just to really just make sure that we do what his word says, right? Another one that he says is in Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. Pastor went over this not too long ago. He said, I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life that you and your seed may live. Well, when we're voting wrong, when we're supporting witchcraft, when we're going to amusement parks, when we're going to concerts that have this, when we read witchcraft books and read them to our kids, we're not choosing life. We're opening the door to, and it's not a supernatural power, but it's what the world is inundated with. America is under attack. The nations of the world is under attack. Jesus Christ, the church, is under attack. We're the body of Christ. We're under attack. The cancel culture, they want to silence our mouth. Why? Why is that? Because we legitimately have the authority, have the position. We have the mind of Christ. We are the ones that God has put His confidence in to go out and to make a mark and to bring the world to Jesus. Now, there is a process, and I'll get to Romans 13. Well, that's good too. I like that one. I'll get to Romans 13 here in a minute. Thank you, Melinda. There is an author, and his name is Sun Tzu. I think I'm pronouncing that right. But he wrote the book, The Art of War. And it's basically about an ideology of how to win a war without firing a shot. And there's four steps to it, and it's called demoralization, destabilization, crisis, and then normalization. How many of you remember when we had to go in as the American soldiers and had to get rid of the Nazis in Germany? Well, that was Hitler. That was Hitler following the Antichrist plan, and that's what's happening right now. There is a strong spirit of the Antichrist trying to press in before it's really his time to have his reign here upon the earth. But the church is the one that is supposed to keep that from happening. Every generation has that opportunity and has that responsibility to put the Antichrist in his place and to show forth Christ and his principles. So in these processes of time, and this has been happening for decades, going on for decades, but only here recently, I'd say within the past 8 years, and especially within the past, well, probably within the past 10 years or longer, but within the past 3 years, it's like it's been accelerated. It's just like the devil's got his foot on the accelerator. So the Lord told me, He said, it's time for my church to wake up. It's time for our church to wake up. Now, another thing, another statement that he gave me just as soon as Pastor told me back there, he said, for evil to flourish, it only takes good men to do nothing. Who are the good men? That's us, the church. We're God's ambassadors. We're God's representatives. We are carriers of God's anointing. Amen. And we can't go ahead and live our lives like we've been living in the past. We've got to get our eyes open. You know, I hear people not only say God's in control, but they also say, well, whatever will be, will be. It doesn't matter how I vote, you know, God's going to put His man or His woman in there anyway. Or, you know, you all know where I'm going with that. Amen. And it's the church that's saying it. I can understand the world saying it, but I can't understand, and I don't think God the Father understands why we are going that direction, why we are siding with Him and having an association, an affiliation, and an assimilation with evil. When we are the righteous representatives. Amen? This is heavy. I do know that. And the Lord told me it's going to be a little bit heavy. But we've got to have our eyes opened, okay? Romans 13, not your fault, Scotty. I got tangled up in my arm. Romans 13, verse 11. I'll read this out of the Amplified. Are you there? I'm not. I'm in Romans 12. Are you understanding where I'm coming from? I said Romans 13, verse 11. I've got my thinking on. King James says, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. It's like the devil has put a snow job or a con job on the church. I mean, the Bible says in another place that he blinds the eyes. He darkens the minds. His ideals and ideologies, it even goes back to where he was talking to Eve in the garden. And God had told Adam to have dominion, subdue. And the devil used the serpent, who was more subtle than any other creatures. And he come to Eve and he asked the question, has God said? Now, In other words, did God really mean what he said? Did he really mean that? And I think that's where the church is a lot of times. Especially when we find ourselves or we find our families tied up or wrapped up in some of the devil's trap. We make excuses sometimes. And we don't want to admit the truth. But it's time that we admit the truth and walk in the truth. Amen? So, that temptation comes all the way through, even through Noah, through the flood. And it comes all the way through, even now, even though that Jesus Christ has come and has redeemed us from the curse, we still have to examine the Bible. We still have to read and study and show ourselves approved. I was listening to a young lady today, and she made a statement that, I mean, it impacted me, and I know Pastor said it before, but, you know, he's talking about being clean through the Word of God. That you have a righteous mindset. And she said, when you fill up with the Word pushes out everything of the darkness. There's no place for light. But when you start filling your minds and filling your homes and doing things that's contrary to the Word of God, darkness has creeping in and starting to take you captive. So we got to shake those things off. We got to be just like the Word says. Awake out of the sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we believed. And it is, you know. Let me read that out of the Amplified. And he says this. Besides this, you know what a critical hour this is. Do you all know it's a critical hour? Do you all feel and sense that it's a critical hour? I mean, I've heard people say, if something doesn't happen, we're not going to have a country. Huh? I've heard them say that, I just don't know what I'm going to do. And a lot of people take this attitude. They go home and they say, I'll stick my head in the sand. I won't have nothing to do with politics. I won't have nothing to do with amusement parks. I won't have nothing to do with this. But no, God's called us to be a witness to the world, to take the light out into the darkness and to dispel the darkness. Amen? So that's what we're to do. And he says, and this is a critical time. Even the election is going to prove this out. It's a critical time, and who you vote for matters. So, going on, he says this. It's high time. It's high time now for you to wake up out of your sleep. And he says, rouse to reality. What is reality? It's the truth of the Word of God. There is no higher form of reality than the Word of God. And when Christians do something else besides the Word of God, they're walking in darkness. Something else that's to be said that I heard the Lord say that, you know, the science has a saying that says for every action there is an equal and opposite reaction. God says there's seed time and harvest. That's seed time and harvest. In other words, for every decision that you make, there's a harvest coming for that decision. If it's a right decision, you're going to get right things. If it's a wrong decision, you're going to reap the harvest of being wrong. So I want to make sure that I'm right. And the way that I make sure that I'm right is every decision I make, this is the plumb line. Pastor's been teaching this and preaching this. This is the plumb line. This is what we go by as believers, as Christians. If anything deviates to the left or to the right of it, we hold on to this. And we do this. We are a remnant of God's people. And God's always going to have a remnant of people who are going to stand for the truth. Religion has I've said this before, Pastor said it before, it has and holds a form of godliness, but it actually denies the very power thereof. That's not us, church. We're Word of Faith, Spirit-filled, tongue-talking, Holy Ghost, devil-kicking, devil-stomping, children of the Most High God. But we don't act like it. We don't act like it. It's a reality that we've got to awaken to, that we take on the mentality and the mind of Christ. And what that basically means and what that basically says is this. It's His way of thinking about any subject, whether it's politics, amusement parks, books, that you know, everything that I've mentioned. It's what He thinks about it, what He says about it, and what He does. It's His way of thinking, His way of talking, and His way of doing. So that's us. That's what we're supposed to be doing. And the Bible says that when we do this, it'll shed light on the darkness. And we give an opportunity for people to come out of the darkness into the light. But when light, the church, goes home and puts on a bushel basket and puts over their head, there's no light. When people see you participating in things that the world knows, they know, and the church knows is not right, they think, well, if they can do it, I can do it. That's not the way it's supposed to be. Pastor said this before, it's not been too long ago, and he brought up the thing of WWJD. What would Jesus do? Okay. Yeah, he would probably go eat with sinners, but he wouldn't partake or participate in their actions and activities. He went to be a light. Amen. Finishing on with Romans chapter 13, verse 11. Rouse to reality. It's kind of like you need to just kind of shake yourself. You know, you kind of need to make room. First thing that we ought to do every the morning is get the word. You know, either that or wake up, throw the covers back and say, "Woo! Let the Lord be magnified." I do that sometimes. Well, I do it every day. So, and you say, "Good morning, Father. Good morning, Lord Jesus. Good morning, Holy Spirit. I am yours to obey. You have bought me with the price of the blood, and I don't want my members serving unrighteousness." Amen. Romans 8, 1 and 2, I don't have that down, but Melinda, if you want to put that up there. It talks about, Romans 8, 1 and 2, "There is therefore no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus." Are you in Christ Jesus? Let me see your hands. Say, "I'm in Christ Jesus. I'm in Christ Jesus. I'm in Christ Jesus. He's in me." Devil? No, devil. "I'm God's purchased possession. My spirit doesn't belong to you. My mind doesn't belong to you. My body doesn't belong to you. My family doesn't belong to you. My finances don't belong to you. My church don't belong to you. This area don't belong to you. This is the area that God has called us to." Amen. So, Romans 8, 1, there it is. "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." Verse 2, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." That's a reality. That's a waking and shaking right there. I mean, that's something that when you bite into that and grab a hold of that, and you've been raised to a different standard. You're no longer the old man or the old woman that you used to be, and you no longer live your life according to the flesh, but you live it according to the Spirit. And it goes on into that chapter, and it talks about having a carnal mind or a spiritual mind. And the spiritual mind, there's an enmity, a gap, a chasm between that and the spiritual mind and the carnal mind. Because the carnal mind wants to do the things that are pleasing to the flesh. Matter of fact, it don't even want you to renew your mind to the Word of God. Because when you get into the Word of God, it's life. And that God releases Himself through the renewing of your mind. So that's how you change old behaviors, old actions. And you learn to make choices in line with what the Word of God says. Not with what your union says, not with what your party says, not with what your family says, you know, not with what the devil says. You choose from what the Word of God says. Amen? All right. Chew on that a while. It's the Word. So, I finished up Romans chapter 13. I also finished up that one too, Sister Melinda. Did I finish up the art of war? I didn't. I'll go back to that just for a minute. That's the process that's been going on. And in order to do that, they don't care how many generations that it takes, but they get a group of their people together who believe what they're believing for, what they believe. And in order, and it's just like to change our thinking on our freedoms and on our republic, democracy. There's been a movement for years that has come up, and it's called demoralization, and they filled our colleges with liberal arts or liberal teachers that believe the Antichrist doctrine. Amen. So year after year, generation after generation, they start putting this into the minds of our kids, mind of our generation. One favorite talk show host that I listened to, he said they're filling your children's minds full of mush. But no, it's their doctrine. It's what they believe. So once they get it to a place where you're demoralized, then they throw in groups. Antifa, BLM. What's some of those women's groups? Women's Lib. But what that does, that's to bring division. That's to cause division. That's to divide you into classes. And there's only two classes, lost and found. Righteousness and unrighteousness. But the good news is, God says you don't have to stay unrighteous. You don't have to stay a sinner. So that's the process that the United States has been going through. So it's demoralization, destabilization, and now comes the third one called crisis. Look around. They've been trying to push war. They've been trying to get us involved in every war coming and going. And some of the leaders right now, they have tried, they've financed a lot of unnecessary wars. That's not the way that it's supposed to be. But if they do push us into a crisis, and this is my understanding of it, they can declare like a martial law. And if that does that, then that freezes all of everything that's been set up from our democracy, and we no longer have freedom of choice, freedom of religion, because they're going to get rid of us, especially if the Antichrist comes in here. They take away your choices. They tell you where you're supposed to go, what you're supposed to do. And then once all of that takes place and they get in control, they go to the last stage, and it's called normalization. They're normal. Not God's normal. They're normal. So I don't know about you, but I don't cater to the Antichrist. I don't play around with him. And I know that this message is tough and it's strong, but we are not Antichrist. We are Christ people. Amen. We have been born again, the Bible says, of an incorruptible seed called the Word of God. How many of you know that in order for a woman to be pregnant, seed has to be sown? Well, and then my DNA, like when we had Jeremy, my DNA is released through that seed, and it becomes a child, becomes Jeremy. So he's a chip off the old rock. You know, we have God's DNA, and Christians need to see that. They don't see that. They're woke. Okay. I have a definition for woke. And this is the culture that we're fighting against, and we're supposed to be standing against and lifting up the standard against. And if you don't agree with them, you're called homophobic. You're called a whole bunch of names. You know, I ain't gonna say some of them, but I mean they're bad names. But it's their names for us. But when you stand for what's right and you are awake, you won't be woke. And I say that woke, it's W-O-K-E, is World Order of Kingdom Enemies. And they are pushing the world order narrative. And it's today's viewpoints, cultural viewpoints, they are aimed at the church. They're aimed at removing the church. They're aimed at removing God and Christ. Every other religion, any religion that you can name, there's no persecution against them. But their God, their men wasn't, Muhammad wasn't God, you know. Buddha wasn't God. He's a little fat, statue of just whatever he made out of. But he's not God. So this culture wants to cancel that identity. And the church can't stand back anymore and try to hide in a corner thinking, it's not coming near us. Honey, look right out there. It's near us. It's pushing against us. But we got to push back. We got the power of God on our side. Amen. And it goes ahead to say in this definition that when you're woke, that how many of you remember when I think it was Biden was running, he said, for the soul of a nation. Well, that's what this is all about. It's for the soul. The soul is man's mind, will, and emotion. The soul has to do with a man's ideology, a man's mentality. You know, it's for the soul of the nation, and right now it's not only for the nation of the United States, but it's for the entire earth. We have people in other countries that are praying for the United States, because as the United States goes, so goes the world. Israel has nobody to help them right now. They are God's chosen people. We are too. We've been grafted in. So God needs the United States as a shield for Israel. So we need right leadership in there. It goes ahead to say about this narrative and ideology, it's a set of belief that man does not need God. And that man is sufficient in himself. No, our dependency is on Christ. In Christ we stand. Amen. So, I've said that. It's a different one. I've already talked about politics, entertainments, amusement parks, books. Do you remember in the book of Acts where, man, they got delivered, Paul and him was preaching, and, you know, people got saved and from witchcraft, and they brought the books in there and burnt the books up? Do you know that when God told the children of Israel to go into and conquer a nation, he told them not to worship their gods. He told them to go in there and destroy their high places, destroy their altars, destroy their images, have nothing to do with them. Ain't no different then than ain't no different today. The highest standard is us taking hold of what God's Word says and living by that Word. And I pray that after this message you all love me, because I'm telling you the truth in love. But it's okay. You have to deal with God. I mean, God's saying it's time to awake. It's time to wake up out of the slumber that the church has been in. And I'll say one more thing. The rapture is real. But the rapture is not going to escape. I heard somebody telling me this the other day. They were sitting there and said, well, what would take care of this is if God would just come and get the church and take it home. That's an option. I don't think it's a near option. It's coming. It's going to happen. But even if he doesn't come very soon, I told you this once before, I'm 70 years old. Genesis 6:3 says he promised me 120 years. And he says, I can live that in a rich, full life, the promise of a rich, full life, nothing missing, nothing lacking, broken. But 50 years is just like that. It's like a bubble on the water. So why am I saying all this? not only to get us to wake up out of a slumber and a sleep, but it's our generation, it's our children's generation, and for each successive generation after that, until Jesus does come and take the church home. It is our job and it's our responsibility to instill in them, as well as in us, the standard of Christ and nothing less. So, I'm just about to wrap it up. Somebody say, praise God. No. I've already said that for evil to flourish, it only takes good men to do nothing. I did the Sun Tzu thing. Let's see, where's that one? There's one more. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 5, 8 through 18. And I think I'll finish with that one. Because I've given you really enough to chew on. And I've been obedient to the Lord to do and to say what He wanted me to say. Ephesians 5, 8 through 18. I'm going to read that, sister. You can put it up there, and I'll tell you what verse we're going to. Verse 8 says, and I'm going to read it out of the Amplified. For once you were darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. That's not a suggestion. That's a commandment. Walk as children of light. Lead the lives of those native born to the light. Now that's what the Amplified says. Go on to verse 9. For the fruit, or the effect, or the product of the light, or the Spirit, consists in every form of kindly goodness, uprightness in heart, and trueness of life. Verse 10. And learn in your, or try to learn in your experience what is pleasing to the Lord. Not to the flesh, not to this one or that one. But let your lives be constant proofs of what is most acceptable to Him. That's who you're out to please. Not pastors, not me. If you please Him, you're going to please the pastor. Is that right? And He says, take no part in, have no fellowship with, now I'm in verse 11, the fruitless deeds and enterprises of darkness, but instead let your lives be so in contrast as to expose and reprove and convict darkness. Verse 12, for it is a shame even to speak of or mention the things that such people practice in secret. I've been told, and I've listened to other ministers, that we have a lot of our politicians that are involved secretly at home in satanic worship. Amen. But when anything is, in verse 13, but when anything is exposed and reproved by the light, it is made visible and clear, and where everything is visible and clear, there is light. That's what's going to take care of the darkness out there, is when the church arises and start showing forth the light. And as I said before, we have the authority. We have the dominion. It's our purpose. Verse 14, therefore He says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall shine, to make the day dawn upon you, and give you light. Verse 15, look carefully then how you walk. That's your lifestyle. Amen. That's where you go. That's what you do. Live purposefully and worthily and accurately. I'm in verse 15 of the Amplified. Not as the unwise and witless, but as wise, sensible, and intelligent people. Verse 16, making the most of the time and buying up each opportunity, because the days are evil. Verse 17, therefore, do not be vague and thoughtless and foolish, but understanding and firmly grasping what the will of the Lord is. Wise men still seek the Lord. Say, I'm wise. I'm a wise man. I'm a wise woman. You know, you women say that. And I seek the Lord. Amen. Therefore, do not be vague or thoughtless and foolish, but understanding and firmly grasping what the will of the Lord is. Verse 18, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but ever be filled and stimulated with the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit. That's why I say that we are tongue talkers, water walkers, devil kicking, yoke destroyers, because the power of God abides within us. Amen. I'm going to do one more. I know y'all love it so well. In Galatians chapter 5, talking about walking in the Spirit, which I read in Romans 8 chapter 1 and 2. Galatians 5, starting with verse 16, says this, "This I say, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." So how do we not fulfill the lust of the flesh? How do you walk in the Spirit? You get into the Word of God. Amen. You let God's Word lead and guide you. Verse 17 says, "For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to the other." Verse 18, "But if you be led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." Now, the works of the flesh, get a hold of this, get a load of this, they always say it. The works of the flesh are these: adultery. Pastors taught on adultery. Fornication. Uncleanness. That's the LGBTQ lifestyle. Lasciviousness. That's evil work. Idolatry. Witchcraft. Hatred. Variance. Immolations, wrath, strife, and seditions, envyings, murders, drunkenness, and such the like, of which I tell you, as I told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Pretty strong, ain't it? Is that in the Word, Brother Rick? Yeah, you can see it right there. It's just not me saying it, but it's God. We've been called to righteousness and to live a holy life. Amen. It's no longer just que sera, sera, whatever will be, what I want to do to please me, I will do. No, it's not about pleasing yourself. It's about pleasing God. That the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. I'll end right there. So awake. Awakening. We need an awakening. They're teaching and talking about a third great awakening, the great revival that's coming through. Every church, every individual Christian, we have an assignment to help usher in this revival. And going back to the art of war, they say that there's two things or one thing that would get them out of a crisis, and that's the intervention of a stronger power. That's the reason why the United States went in and set them free in Germany. So today, the higher power is revival. It's Christ. I've been decreeing and declaring a divine reset, a divine reversal. The people that are Antichrist-driven, they're talking about a great reset. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about God's divine reset, God's divine reversal, and God's divine restoration. 2 Chronicles 20:20. God says, the word says, believe in the Lord your God and you'll be established. Believe his prophets and you shall prosper. We have to have a recognition and a restoration and an understanding of the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor. They all have to work together. We need all five to be perfected for the working of the saints, for the working of the ministry. We need that. Churches in this area, they don't like to, for some reason, without even looking at their fruit, without even knowing what the Word says. Just like there's a mantle of a pastor, there's a mantle of a prophet, there's a mantle of an apostle, there's a mantle of a teacher, there's a mantle of an evangelist. All five of them has got to work together for the church. Amen. Stand up with me. Pastor, if you've got anything to say, bring correction or you're welcome to. The word of the Lord is truth, folks. And I spoke the truth in love. So, I'm just going to ask God, just bow your head. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, that your word is truth. I thank you, Father God, that your word is life, that your word is illumination. In Ephesians chapter 1, I'm going to pray this prayer. So hang on with me as I turn to it. It's one of the four, what I call, Holy Ghost-inspired prayers. It says that I cease not to give thanks for you all. And I know pastors the same way, making mention of you in my prayers. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, so that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling in you. What is the richest inheritance, His inheritance in you as a saint of God? What is the exceeding greatness of that power to us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ Jesus when He raised Him from the dead, seated Him in those heavenly places, far above all principality, power, and might, and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in the age to come. And He has put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over the church, which is His body. Now, on down in Ephesians 2, He says that we've been quickened together, raised together, made to sit together in those heavenly places. We're not lowlifes. We're high life. Amen. So, Father, I thank you, Lord, that our eyes are open. I thank you for the awakening here. I thank you, Lord, that I've awakened myself and still awakening myself to the righteousness of God. Your way of thinking, your way of doing, your way of talking. Father, me and my family, Father God, are yours to command because we are not our own. We've been bought with the price of the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, and so are these, my brothers and sisters. And I pray, Father God, in the next days coming, that, Father God, that they'll fully submit themselves to you, yielding themselves to you, yielding their members to you, Father God, spirit, soul, body, family, financially, socially, and otherwise. And that they will take on the mind of Christ, and, Father, that they'll examine each and everything that I've said and line it up through the Word of God, through that prism. And let everything that be truth stand, and let everything that be a lie fall, in the name of Jesus. I love you. Does anybody need any prayer? Okay. Saved? Filled with the Holy Ghost? Happy? Say, I'm happy. No, I'm really happy. Say it like that. No, I'm really happy. Happy, happy, happy. Happy as me. You got to notify your face sometimes. I told Deb the other day, she come down, she was all right. I said, are you happy? She said, yes, honey. I said, well, notify your husband. She went like that. She said, what? She just got up. So she was still shaking the cobwebs off. Amen. Pastor, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you bless your congregation.